I've asked Brooke if she would come and read this morning's scripture. So Matthew 1, 18 to 25.
Okay, this is called The Birth of Jesus, the Messiah. Now, this is how Jesus, the Messiah, was born. His mother Mary was engaged to be married to Joseph. But while she was still a virgin, she became pregnant by the Holy Spirit. Joseph, her fiancé, being a just man, decided to break the engagement quietly so as not to disgrace her publicly. As he considered this, he fell asleep, and an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream. "Joseph, son of David," the angel said, "do not be afraid to go ahead with your marriage to Mary, for the child within her has been conceived by the Holy Spirit. And she will have a son, and you are to name him Jesus, for he will save the people from their sins. All of this happened to fulfill the Lord's passage through his prophet. "Look, the virgin will conceive a child. She will give birth to a son, and he will be called Emmanuel," meaning God is with us. When Joseph spoke up, he did what the angel of the Lord commanded. He brought Mary to be his wife, but she remained a virgin until her son was born, and Joseph named him Jesus.
Father, I ask that you take this morning's message as we seek to understand the meaning of this passage, and by your Spirit, you'd cause these words to come alive in a new way. In Jesus' name, amen. So this morning, this passage leads me to talk about reputation. How many of you are concerned about your reputation? So, you know, reputations can be good things, they can be bad things. When we're overly concerned with our reputation, however, can actually get in the way of what God wants to do in our lives. And not only in our lives, but through our lives. In his book, The Jesus Creed, which I reference every week, Scott McKnight states that our reputation, what others think of us, is not as important as our identity, who we really are. That's what Christy was getting at in the children's message this morning. So part of growing in Christ is kind of untangling our reputation and our identity. And I would say, in ideal circumstances, our reputation needs to grow out of our identity. But my experience as a pastor is many of you, and myself included, oftentimes are more concerned with our reputation because something's been ingrained into us, beaten into us, hammered into us by our parents or by our upbringing or by our friends. And so we're really concerned about our reputation. But when we become concerned about our identity, in fact, when we focus on loving God and loving people, what ends up happening is that we embrace what God thinks of us, and that begins to transform what we think of ourselves, and I would suggest also what others think of us. And what others think of us, when we really follow God by loving God and loving people, what others think of us is not always going to be positive. When Jesus' people gather together, They tell stories about how God's touched their lives in one way or another. And the story of Joseph is one of those stories that they have told to one another in the early church. And the result has an impact in the life of the church. Joseph has a reputation. And his reputation is that of being righteous. He's known as a tzaddik in Hebrew. A tzaddik is someone who studies and learns and observes Torah scrupulously. That means he lives and recites the Shema daily, that he follows all of the food laws, that he supports the synagogue, that he observes the Sabbath, and he celebrates the high holy days in Jerusalem when he is able to. And in my imagination, Joseph is proud of that reputation. It's a good reputation to have. It's one of the best reputations. The only thing better in his day, in his setting, would be to be a priest or a prophet or even the Messiah himself. And now in Joseph's story, as a result of his things that are being said about his fiancée, his reputation is about to be challenged. Before they're married, Mary is found to be pregnant. In the world of Joseph, who follows Torah, if Joseph continues in his relationship with Mary, he will get a new reputation. Am ha-haretz, people of the land, which is a dig, which is a diss, which is a way of saying you're part of the people who don't really count. You don't really follow the Torah. You're not scrupulous in your morals. You involve yourself with people and things that a righteous person should not. Such people, they eat ham sandwiches. They don't tithe. They hang out with Gentiles. They dabble in sexual immorality. So they don't count. So Joseph's reputation from being a tzaddik, which follows the law, is now becoming one, has the potential of becoming one, am ha-haretz, one who's careless. Certainly Mary was one of those. So Joseph's reputation is at stake in this story. What is he to do? As a Bible believer, he consults the Bible to see what to do. And in Torah, in Deuteronomy chapter 23, in Numbers 5, he learns what to do. Mary has either been seduced or raped. If she's been seduced, then the Torah says that Mary and her seducer are to be stoned to death. If she's been raped, the rapist is to be put to death. If no one confesses, then Mary is to be made to drink the waters of bitterness. If she dies from the water, she's guilty. If she doesn't die, she's innocent. If her parents could produce tokens of her virginity, then she would be guiltless. And in the midst of all this, there's Mary's claim, yes, I'm pregnant, but I'm pregnant because God has made me pregnant. Who knew? What's Joseph to do? Mary, whom he loves, is pregnant. She claims her pregnancy is from God, which is crazy, crazy, crazy. If he marries her, his reputation is ruined. He's bound to put an end to the relationship if he's going to follow the Bible. He's caught on the horns of a dilemma. Will he love God by obeying Torah? Or will he love Mary and take her as his wife? He chooses kind of an in-between thing. He'll do a private divorce. Nobody will know about it. It'll be off on the side. Nobody will be ashamed. Nobody's reputation will be ruined. Except for Mary, because she'll have a baby. But he'll be safe. In the midst of this, God intervenes. God shows up. God comes to Joseph in the form of a messenger. And that angel explains that indeed what is conceived in Mary is from God. And Joseph need not fear. You need not fear the loss of your reputation. You don't need to be afraid of this set of circumstances. What is going on because God has accomplished this. Really? No need to fear? Have you ever been in a situation where you felt like you've been following God and things begin to fall apart? And what rises in your gut, up to your throat, is fear? I know I have. Several times in my life, I've been gripped by fear. because I've followed what I thought God was saying. Now, it turns out that in each of those circumstances, what I was doing, what I was following, was in fact what God was leading. And I need not fear. For us as a congregation right now, we're in the midst of just such a circumstance. And some of it has to do with our reputation. We must learn, as Thomas A. Kempis put it, when you surrender your reputation, you won't care a fig for the wagglings of 10,000 tongues. John Stott was a Church of England pastor and author. I heard him speak in 1967, just before I went to Vietnam. He had a big impact on me at the time. It was at the Urbana Conference in Champaign, Urbana, Illinois. When he was in college, he faced a dilemma. And the dilemma was this. He felt that God was calling him to be a pastor. He lived in a family of a very successful doctor. And the doctor had plans for his son. And he felt that if John followed the call of being a pastor, he would lose his reputation. He would amount to nothing. He would throw away all the goods he had, his brain, his good standing, what people thought of him. He would lose all of that. Years later, Stott wrote about his own personal struggle, saying that Christ's lordship includes our career. God's plan may be different from our parents or our own, for that matter. And then he went on to say, when a Christian loses himself, he finds himself, his own true identity. John Stott's story is he became a pastor. He became an influential pastor, not only in a local congregation, but around the world, an author that people read and are still reading today. And he found his identity in the process, because he did as he was told. Joseph's story has those words in it. He did as he was told. He just went ahead and did what he was told to do. He did as he was told. He married Mary. He gave the child his name and made him legal. In doing so, he tied himself to two people with sullied reputations. Mary is perceived as an adulteress, a naap, and Jesus is considered an illegitimate child, a momzer. Even Joseph's identity is being rooted firmly rooted in God, so his reputation is getting worse and worse. He's no longer a tzaddik. Or maybe he's becoming truly righteous, a true tzaddik. Not in the eyes of men, but in the eyes of God. Joseph is learning that his identity in Christ is more important than who he is in the eyes of the pious people around him. His identity in God trumps his reputation, and he need not fear. Our identity as a church in Christ trumps our reputation. I want us to have a reputation. But it's not the reputation that most people think, where everything is nice, neat, and clean. I want us to have the reputation that we are like the Lord that we worship. St. Augustine, the Bishop of Hippo in the 4th and 5th century, said a similar thing in his autobiography, talking about his pre-conversion days. He wrote, "For in those days, my notion of a good life was to win the approval of these people, reputation. But post-conversion, he wrote, I find no safe place for my soul accepting God. That's identity. The interesting thing about this whole story, the Jesus story, which is just one part of the Israel story, which is just one part of the world story, is that God loses his reputation. He chose for his son to be born of people who had bad reputation. The life his son lives is a life that is lived association with sinners, the least, the left out, the left behind, the lost. People the good people would have nothing to do with. He's given the reputation of a drunken and a glutton. His son dies on a cross, a death that is reserved for the worst of society. And through that death, the one true righteous one saves the world. If we seek to love God and love people, we will face the dilemma of surrendering our reputation in order to find our identity in Christ. When we follow Jesus, learn from Jesus, and find ourselves being changed by Jesus from the inside out, we will inevitably experience that tension between identity and reputation.